Blog Talk Radio.
My God is God.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another live broadcast of God's Word to Man. I am your host, Brother Manny, and I am so excited to be back with you this evening. You know what tonight is? It's Monday night. And what do we do on Monday nights? That's right. We open up the phone lines and we allow you, the listener, to call in and ask any Bible question that you may have. You know, have you ever been in a situation where you read Bible scripture and something just, you know, you couldn't quite get it, it didn't click? Or perhaps you heard something someone said that sounded spiritual and you wondered, like, man, is that biblical or is that the truth? Well, tonight we have the brothers online. They are ordained elders. A lot of them have pastored churches, and together probably well over 100 years of ministry between all of them. And they call in from time to time, and they call in just to answer your questions and to provide insight into some of your most pressing questions, okay? But before we get to the brothers, I want to bring them on shortly. I just want to let you know, again, you're listening to a live broadcast of God's Word to Man. I am Brother Manny. We do have a Facebook presence on social media. It's called God's Word to Man. Go on over, if you haven't already, if you're on social media, if you're on Facebook, like and follow that page. What happens is that we update and we post to that page very, very periodically throughout the day. Any updates, any additional content, videos, any announcements, anything about our broadcast, we post to that page. So that's how you'll get updated. So go on over, like that page, follow that page, if you please. We also have a email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com, where you can send your questions, your prayer requests, and your comments if you don't feel comfortable calling in. That's godswordtoman@gmail.com, GODSWORD, the number 2, MAN, @gmail.com. You can leave your information there, and we'll reach back out to you as soon as we can. I want to also alert you to a conference that we have coming up. It's called the Prayer, Praise, and Rededication Conference. Yes, that's right. Prayer, Praise, and Rededication Conference. That's going to be on October the 25th, 26th, 27th. That's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of 2019. It will be coming up very soon. It's going to be held at the Quality Inn Schaumburg. The Quality Inn Schaumburg, 600 North Martingale Road. 600 North Martingale Road in Schaumburg. Going over to God's Word to Man Facebook page for more information on that conference. Amen. We welcome all. All are welcome to attend the conference. We will turn no one away. Now, without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and introduce the brothers here. We have on the line Brother Daniel Rogers. God bless you, Brother Daniel. How are you today?
Just fine. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you for joining us, Brother Daniel. And we also have Reverend Joseph C. Murphy, Sr. God bless you, Rev. How are you tonight?
God bless you, my brother.
Thank you for having
Amen.
Me. God bless you, Brother Daniel.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us, Rev. We really appreciate it. We might have one or two extra elders on hand tonight. They may call in when they get a chance. So we're going to go ahead and get started every day. And I think I'm going to start extending this throughout the week and asking people to post their questions throughout the week to the Gospel with a Man page or just email them to me. But before the broadcast during the day, I always post and I say, hey, if you have any questions, just send them to me or feel free to call in. And you certainly can do that. You can call in and ask your question. You may be on hold for a quick minute, but I'll get to you. The number to call in is 323-870-3403. Again, that number is 323-870-3403. So we're going to go ahead and get started. I have a few questions already I've written down. And we're going to go ahead and get started. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to start with you, Brother Daniel. The first question comes in and says, it talks about John 14 and 12. John 14 and 12. And so let me pull up my Bible here. John 14 and 12. All right. John 14 and 12 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. There has been some confusion, Brother Daniel, about what it is Jesus meant by saying, greater works shall ye do. We all know, some of the scriptures in the Bible about what Jesus did. Is he telling us that we will do even greater works than that? That is the question, Brother Daniel. We try to keep our answers to under 3 minutes. And if you'd like to defer to the next person, the next elder, you can do so. But that's the question, Brother Daniel. What is it meant in John 14:12? When Jesus said, greater works shall ye do.
Well, that's a great verse, so it makes a great question about it. Let's examine it. Now, I don't know how to say it. I'm trying to be positive, but the ordinary explanation. So I went to a couple of their Bible colleges, so I know their doctrines. And they just say, well, it means that while Jesus preached maybe to 5,000 or whatever, why, we'll preach to 50,000. So it'll be greater, not greater miracles, but greater amounts. Well, you can believe that if you want to. But to me, to be flat-footed honest, and that's the only way I know how to be, not always as diplomatic as I ought to be, but I don't think Paul was either, and Jesus sure enough wasn't. He called them all kinds of names, and they fuss it at President Trump calling people names, but Jesus called Herod that old fox. He got a nickname too. So, but the thing of it is, I believe he just meant what he said. Said what he meant what he said. And especially in this case. Now, he just meant, now what would be greater? Well, hey, did a man in the Bible stop the sun and the moon from going down for about a whole day? That's greater than Jesus ever did. Huh? Come on now. Well, he raised the dead that had been dead 4 days. Yeah? I know that too. But over in Jakarta over there in Indonesia, they raise the dead all the time. Now, but he turned water into wine. Well, at least in one church that I know of, they, when they have communion, that's the way they do it. They always do it. They just have water, pray over, and it turns to what looks like, tastes like, smells similar, tastes similar to wine. So their detractors said, well, that's of the devil, because God don't make people drunk. So they sent it off. This was in a smaller town, to the headquarters over there, big city, and had it analyzed after they had, the Lord had turned it into what they were using for communion, that they called wine. Well, the report came back, we don't know exactly what it is. It's not grape juice, but it's more like wine, but there's no alcohol. I just love the Lord. Don't you love the Lord, the way he can do things? But at any rate, amen. And when they go out, they go in teams. Nobody is a big shot. I love that, too. And they go in teams there. It's where one of the greatest revivals going on the planet. Multitudes are turning to the Lord. And it's a Muslim country. And you got a lot of communists, too. Communists tried to take it over and come within an inch. Instead of that, they got killed off by the multitudes. But it's kind of it's the largest Muslim country on the planet, and it's not in the news because it doesn't follow the strict Muslim line. It's more of a secular type of Muslim, which aren't near as wicked. But
amen.
All Muslims aren't terrorists. Some of them are against terrorists. There's all degrees of Muslims, and so be careful to not put them all in the same boat because they don't belong there. But they all uphold Sharia law. I won't get into Muslim, but the Sharia law is bad. It's not a religion. Muslim is not exactly a religion. It's a way of life and a political entity using religion as a cover. That's the truth of it. Now, if you want to know the
truth, amen.
And
amen, Brother Daniel. Thank you so much, Brother Daniel. I appreciate you and your answer there. I'd like to welcome on Brother Eddie Lee. God bless you, Brother Lee. How are you?
Oh, hello, Brother Daniel. How you doing?
I'm doing well, brother.
How you doing? How you doing, Brother Lee?
Yeah, I'm just greetings, brother, and I'm just glad to hear Brother Daniel, with Brother Expositor of the Truth. I'm just rejoiced to hear his voice and sharing his life experience and words of truth. So I just enjoy listening. But I just want to tune in so I can listen a little bit, and just glad to hear Brother Daniel.
Okay. Okay, Brother Lee. So you just want to listen. You don't want to answer any questions today?
You know, Daniel, he's doing okay. He's the man. So I'm going to listen to Brother Daniel.
Thank you. God love you. I'm nobody. I'm nothing. The only good thing about me is Jesus. That's for sure.
Yeah, we appreciate it. That's it. Well, I might answer one question if it comes up before I get off. I'll try to answer it, give some light on it. But I know Daniel,
okay.
He'll cover it pretty good.
Amen.
Okay.
Well, our next question, I'll pose to you, Rev. It's about suicide. I know this is a very touchy subject.
I like you.
Yeah, that's cashier check.
There's a man here at the door, but go ahead.
Yeah, so the next question is about suicide. Do people who commit suicide still go to heaven? Do people who commit suicide still go to heaven? I want to go ahead and pose that to you, Ref. Go ahead.
So In my limited understanding of Scripture, and I say that because I don't pretend to know, obviously, everything about what the Bible says, I haven't found a Scripture yet that says that hell is certain for someone who commits suicide. The Bible talks about one unpardonable sin, and it's not suicide, nor is it associated with suicide. And so, having said that, while I'm not a proponent, and neither is the Bible a proponent of people committing suicide, it is not an automatic sentence to hell. Now, people will say, well, if you commit suicide, then you don't have an opportunity to repent for that sin, because the Bible says thou shalt not kill. So that's those who are proponents for believing suicide is something that gets you an automatic trip to hell. They will say that. But I have not seen that in the Scripture on any level that tells you that if somebody kills themselves, then they have no chance to go to heaven. So because I haven't seen it and read it, then I don't subscribe to that line of thinking. I try to always say what the Bible says. Even with your previous question, Jesus answers the question within the question. He says, greater works will they do because I'm going to be with my Father. So Jesus' earthly ministry, we know, was 3 years. And so not greater in quality, just simply greater in quantity. Well, that's what the Scripture bears out. And so that's why I try to go by the Scripture. So we have greater opportunities. There's more people can see it with social media, things of that nature. And again, more closely to what Brother Even Daniel was saying, that it's not the people themselves who's doing the miracles. It's the power of God that works within them. And so no man or woman should boast about their ability to do anything, but it shall be more widely recognized, because we're going to have greater opportunities, longer ministries, more social media, things of that nature. So, again, just like that's supported by Scripture, I don't think there's a Scripture that supports suicide being an automatic trip to hell.
Amen. Brother Lee, would you like to add anything to that, or would you like to move on to the next question?
I'll move on. That's a controversy between believers. And, you know, there's questions that's not clearly, distinctly seen in the Scriptures. And so for that reason, many believers have different signs. And so it becomes a controversy between what they believe about suicide. I've been asked that question quite a few times. I go by some precepts and some standards that the Scripture always give about anything. Whether it gives a precise revelation or a direct revelation, it always gives examples, patterns, and precepts about everything that takes place in life. Everything that takes life in this life, the Bible don't always give a precise, a direct revelation, but it gives answers in other forms. So when you study the whole thing, you will find out some information, because the Bible talks about Jesus becoming our wisdom. And there is some insight and wisdom that God gives about everything that takes place in life. And suicide, there is some things that it speaks to about suicide. What I have come up with is many times you can't judge anything without God's wisdom. Properly, and things that are not clear, you have to have the insight from the wisdom and the Holy Spirit about certain things in Scripture that are not very clear. Brother Daniel,
well, I want to first introduce Brother Keevan on the line with us. God bless you, Brother Keevan.
Good God bless you, gentlemen. How are you tonight?
God bless you, Brother Kingman. How you doing, man?
All right.
Amen. So, Brother Kevin, the question that is posed, I don't know if you'd like to, just to wait on the next question, but this question is about suicide. Do people who commit suicide still go to heaven? Would you like to add anything to that question, or would you like to defer to Brother Daniel to see if he would like to add something?
I'll defer.
Okay. Brother Daniel, would you like to add anything to that question?
Oh, yes. Yes, the brother's right. It's the rule. The rule is you commit murder, even self-murder. Man, that's bad. You're lost.
Yep.
But on the other hand, there's exceptions to every rule. And the Bible says that Samson's one of them. He did a lot of good things. He did some bad things. And he ended up blind, and he killed more Philistines in his death than he did in his life by committing suicide. But he wasn't just committing suicide. He was killing Philistines. See, there's a difference right there. But the rule is you better not do it because it's wrong. It's selfish, and you don't realize what you're doing. A demon is guiding you when you commit suicide. There's all demons and angels and the Holy Spirit are behind everything that happens, along with our human will. We make the decision, but they're egging us on, so to speak, to do good or evil. But you just don't want to mess around with suicide because ordinarily, it's fatal, and you can't repent because you're dead.
Yeah.
So it's not good. But that before it happens, if I'm talking to people, I'll talk like that. I'll talk, don't do it under any circumstances. But after it happens, and then you're dealing with the loved ones, then I preach the mercy of God because I'm not the judge. I can't say that they went to heaven or hell. Only God can say that. And so there's always a small, slim, 1 out of 1,000 or whatever, there's a chance that God had mercy on them because he is mercy. If there's any way he can have mercy, he will. But you sure don't want to be doing it. There's nothing good about it. Ordinarily, it's selfish. But in Samson's case, it wasn't.
Amen.
He's named as a hero of faith in Hebrews 11. So in the New Testament, Saul committed suicide in the Bible. And he ended up in the wrong place. And Judas, I think that's the only three that I can think of that committed suicide in the Bible. And the Bible said Judas went to perdition. He was called the son of perdition. He's still in hell, but because the Bible says he went to perdition. He done the wrong thing, of course, betraying Jesus, but he committed suicide. And when he had remorse, but not repentance. So that's the difference between him and Apostle Peter. He sinned too and denied Jesus 3 times. Nobody else ever was that bad, except Judas, and he was worse. But he repented. He didn't have remorse. He cried and repented, and Jesus looked at him, and it just broke him all up. Just that one look of Jesus, and then Jesus asked him 3 times, once for each of his denials, "Do you love me?" And the third time it upset Peter. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." And poor Peter, he's all shook up. He was brokenhearted. about doing it. He repented and became the great apostle. But at any rate, that's about all I guess I can add to it. Did I do okay?
Yeah, you did good, brother. I want to make one statement, brother. At one time, in the early stages of my understanding, I took a stand that, you know, that of course suicide is detriment, can be detriment to your eternity. But at one time in my stage in my life, in my understanding, I thought I had the view that everyone automatically was lost or went to hell to commit suicide. But as I went along and I began to understand and was given insight to different things, I did not continue with the state that said everyone 100% for sure went to hell or was lost. And as studying certain scriptures that were enlightened to me about God's, not only God's character and his nature and about mercy, I began to study some things in the scripture that could indicate that there is an exception to some things that we don't fully understand. There's some things we are not given full comprehension of light on, but we're given some precepts and principles that to guide us. And these principles and patterns are given to us that we can come to understanding about something that we should not embrace. That suicide is one of them. Because many people are under the influence of many things and from satanic powers to take their life now, especially young people, and drugs and alcohol and serious disappointments and rejections has caused people to want to commit suicide. But I want to tell you this, because I've been confronted with this, and I will say there can be an exception that only God understands fully everything about the person and the event. He only one knows everything, so he can perfectly judge every circumstance and every act. But nobody should think that committing suicide could not put them in jeopardy to hell. They should definitely know that. But I'll leave the final judgment of some exceptions that some people, which we don't have all the facts and all the information, but what leads up to that, or what they were, God himself have to judge. But in generally, I would tell nobody to do it.
Amen.
I'll be living.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, our next question, Brother Kevin, our next question is, can you be born again and be gay? Can you be born again and be gay? And so the question arises out of the debate, if sin is sin in God's eyes, then being gay or homosexual or transgender or lesbian or whatever have you, that's a sin just like being, you know, a whoremonger or adulterer or a murderer or whatever the situation may be. And people are considered themselves Christian even though they sin. So if that's the case and sin is sin, then one can be born again and still be gay. What is your take on it? Or you can defer to one of the brothers. It's up to you.
You want me to answer?
No, I was talking to Brother Kevin. You want Brother Daniel to answer?
Okay.
Yes, you can go.
Okay. That's one of the worst teaching doctrines of man on the planet. It sent maybe more people to hell than any other. Is it once saved, always saved, or, you know, the eternal security, they got different names for it, so on. But the fact of the tenure of the Bible and lots of verses teach the very opposite. They say you can't be unborn. Well, they're using a euphemism. Well, you can die, though, and the way it works is like this: once you're born again, and then you're baptized in water and you're baptized in the Spirit, the longer you live for the Lord, the harder it gets to backslide. And the less likely you are to turn against the Lord. But to say that somebody born again, a real Christian, and then can't be lost is horrible. Horrible, doctrine. Because people sin and they say, oh, it don't matter. A fella came to the door, I read a tract, and he was smoking and cussing and drinking his beer, can of beer, and he said he was a born-again Christian. You know, it reminds me of D.L. Moody. Somebody said, one of your converts, he's out there in the world, and he's doing all these bad things, drinking and cussing and, you know, fornicating and whatever. And, D.L. Moody said, yeah, he must be one of my converts. He sure wasn't one of the Lord's. Well, that's being a little facetious, but the thing of it is, you can be a Christian at one stage of your life and then turn against the Lord and rebel, you see. And then you're lost if you don't repent before you die. I mean, that's taught all the way through the Bible. And a real strong verse that just destroys that eternal security doctrine is Revelation 3:5. Says, if you don't repent, I'll blot your name out of the book of life. Now, see, they were in the book of life, but God said he would blot their name out. Well, if their name ain't in the book of life, the Bible says in the book of Revelation that you don't go to heaven. You don't get in the gate. Neighbor, so you got to try to explain that one. And there's plenty more scripture all the way through that teach the very opposite. We have to not only start out good and get on the road to salvation, we got to stay on that road till the end. And the scriptures all teach that. There's no way around that. And yet the one of the man-made churches, it's the largest Protestant church in the United States, maybe the world. It's got over 10 million members. I read in one book, there's 25 different kinds of them. Oh, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. You got to love me, neighbor, to get to heaven. Baptist. And then I read on the internet, there's 40 kinds of them, Northern Baptist, Southern Baptist, you know, and Seventh-day Baptist, and all kinds of them. Well, not all of them. They got free will Baptists. They're trying to distinguish themselves from the eternal security Baptists, which the Southern Baptists teach. It's not true, neighbor. It's a false doctrine of man. I could go on and on, but I hope that'll help folks to not pay any attention to eternal security. If we make it, we got to stay repented up and prayed up and ready to go up. I'm telling you for a fact.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. It really, really, really is. And if you think you can sin, that don't mean if you spit on the sidewalk or you get mad or something, you're going to go to hell. No, we're talking about gross sin, you know, adultery and murder and evil. But if you, not only that, but rebellion, which is the worst. Prophet Samuel told King Saul, he said, rebellion is as witchcraft and stubbornness. You see? Witchcraft is one of the very, if not the very worst sin, and means they sold themselves out to Satan. And he said that rebellion is the same thing. So if you rebel against God, even if you've been born again, and then turn against him, you're on the wrong road going to the wrong place. But if you...
Brother Manny.
But if you...
Go ahead.
The longer you...
Give me one second. Amen. Thank you for that, Brother Daniel. I appreciate it. Go ahead, Ref.
Yeah, what I think is important for us to understand is people cannot define what born again. I mean, people cannot define for themselves what born again is. The Bible clearly tells us what being born again is. So when people try to morph it into something other than what Scripture says, then that's them trying to fit it to fit their lifestyle. No one can be a practicer of sin and be saved. It's as simple as that. No one can be a practicer of sin and be born again. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, I believe, 5:17, that when we're in Christ, we are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And so our desire even to live right becomes a brand new desire. And so we won't even want to desire to practice sin once we're born again. And so what I think we have to stop people from doing is trying to find a way to justify their sin and say, well, hey, I'm born again, and let's compare my sin to yours. No, there is no comparison. The same hell that homosexuals and lesbians are going to is the same hell fornicators and adulterers and liars and thieves are going to. If you are a practicer of sin, you are not born again. Your born again nature will not let your born again. Thank you, Brother Danny. Your born again nature will not allow you to practice sin, and that really is the answer right there. Paul makes it clear.
Yes, yes.
Old things pass away. Behold,
amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, next question.
I want to add something to that.
Okay.
You
the
asked
Lord
a question
just
about
me a great big natural blessing while I've been talking on the podcast. I won't say how much, but it's a whole bunch of natural blessings. It takes these greenbacks to get through this old world, and a man just handed me a check that you wouldn't believe.
Well, bless the Lord.
I'm telling
bless
you,
the Lord.
This is a blessing podcast. I'm telling you. Praise
amen.
The Lord. He's good to us.
Here's the
children.
Here's the thing that we're going to have to comprehend. A human being is made of three parts: his spirit, soul, and body. Now, when one receives a new spirit of life, which is called, when you're born again, you receive the spirit of life. You receive impartation.
A person, when do they receive life?
When they
is that what you're asking?
Receive?
No.
No. I'm just explaining okay. You receive the spirit of life when you receive Christ. Now, there's a part of your flesh. The fleshly man still has to be crucified.
Amen.
When you can receive the spirit of life and receive Christ and have problems in the flesh, in the area of the flesh. The flesh part of man has to be crucified. That's why Paul talks about being crucified daily and mortifying the deeds of the flesh. The reason you have to receive the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost, is that you have to deal with the flesh man because he's not redeemed. Your spiritual part, spirit man, new life in Christ is the new life. But your flesh part is still unredeemed. You have to use the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to overcome, conquer, and crucify the flesh man. That's the part that Satan is going to use to try to drag you back. Now,
amen.
I'll say this last part. This is the last part. I can't spend too much time on this, but it's a very important subject.
It's
very important because a lot of people are being deceived in this area.
That's the gospel Jesus preached. He said, except you deny yourself. That's what you're talking about, just another way.
Yeah. So remember, two parts when you're born again, you have to deal with the flesh and you have to deal with demons. Homosexual is a spirit and also a works of the flesh, or what you want to call it, homosexual. You call it gay. I don't call it gay. I call it perversion, just like the Bible says, or lasciviousness. So when you come to Christ, some people still have problem in their area of those desires because the flesh is not completely crucified. So when you see people still have impositions to have to fight, they have to fight for deliverance. And because when you receive a new spirit, new life, you may not be fully delivered in the areas of the flesh. Your desire may be to live for God, but you're going to have to crucify with the flesh and deal with the demons that continue with trying to drag you to that desire that once was in you. Now, to stay free and to get free is two different things. To get free and stay free is another thing. Some people claim to be born again and are living and committing because their flesh and their desire still rules in them. Well, you can't have both and enter to heaven. So I'm saying that a lot of people need special help dealing with the flesh to fight the oral area of the flesh and claim complete deliverance. That's why Jesus said he came to set the captive free and deliver you. This is what Isaiah 59 talks about, freedom and liberty. So those homosexuals who have spirits in them, as well as dealing with the uncrucified flesh, need complete victory and deliverance because they can't live in that sin and be acceptable to God. That's all the time I want to spend on it right now.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like we have time for maybe two more questions. So I want to pose this question to you, Brother Keevan, so that you can get some time in. And as always, you are welcome to defer to someone. There is some debate and controversy on whether or not when people make their transition, they go to heaven. Some people say, well, people don't go to heaven. They go to paradise because they quote the scripture in the Bible that says he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. So why would he want people to go to heaven when he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth? So can you provide some clarity on what that means and when the scripture says that as far as new heaven and new earth? Because some people are confused on where people go, you know, when they pass away or whatever. You know, some people say, no, it's not a new heaven or a new earth. It's the same one. It's just going to be new because all the saints will be there. So can you provide some insight to that, or you can defer it to someone.
I would like to defer it to Brother Rogers. I know he has great insight on that. I read some of his material regarding
the new heaven and new earth is the millennium, the first time, and then it'll even have another time after that, after it'll be burned up totally in new heaven and new earth. But we are a spirit being living in a body that has a soul, which is the soulish realm. There's three words in the Greek, makes it plain, but in English it's a little bit hard to understand. But the bodies that slept arose and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. That's Matthew 27:52. Now, your body sleep, not your soul sleep. That's another false doctrine. There's a ton of them out there. Jesus said, you be with me in paradise. And today, I say unto you, now you could take that I'm talking to you today, you're going to be with me in paradise. Be that as it may, paradise is just a different description, a different word for heaven. There's no difference.
It's just different. Bible does that all the way through. It uses a lot of different words describing the same thing to try to get it through our thick skulls of what is the truth. Because we're so thick-headed and got so many traditions, the only way the Bible says the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. You don't get truth by the natural, you know, or getting a lot of degrees from a seminary. And you don't get them that away. You get them by revelation.
Yes.
Revelation is everything, and it comes by the Spirit of God revealing the Word of God. And a beautiful name for your podcast, the Word of the Lord to man, the Word of God to man, because that's what it's going to take. And we get it by revelation, so that that's what we need.
Yeah. Amen. Rev, would you like to add something to that?
No, I think is what Brother Daniel said is perfectly correct. I mean, when we die, the body says, absent from the body is present with the Lord. And so your soul immediately goes into the presence of the Lord, and your remains will be wherever they are. Even if you get cremated and they spread you out in the ocean, they're going to be wherever they are until such time that they are glorified, and then they'll be brought back from wherever it is. So if your remains were in a grave,
amen. That's 100% spot on. Yes, sir, brother.
They'll rejoin your soul, and then we'll be with him. And then when it's all said and done, once there is a new heaven and a new earth, we'll all be back on the new earth is where we'll actually reign at.
So the resurrected body, the purpose, one of the main purpose, is we can go to the spirit realm or the earthly realm, and we rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years right here on earth. But just like John revealed himself and has revealed himself 120 times, he can go back and forth, and so can anybody else that's resurrected. That's one of the main purposes, and we'll be on the new earth, and we can go back to heaven, wherever the will of God is, and we can go back and forth, and so we'll be in heaven or on earth, either one. And eventually, another way for it to be a new heaven, the demons will be cast out of another way of the second heaven. They'll be bound and cast out, so we'll have a new heaven during the millennium. In the sense of the spiritual realm. Paul said there's three heavens. You know, he said he was caught up to the third heaven. First heaven is the air, and the second heaven is the spiritual realm, and the third heaven is where God is, you know, and the New Jerusalem and all the wonderful things up there. And so there's three. But the question maker didn't seem like that they understood that there's three heavens. And once you understand that, then it's easier to answer that question, that we'll be in the new heaven, and or we go to heavenly realm, or we'll be in the new spiritual realm. There won't be any demons. The devil will be bound 1,000 years. The Bible's very plain about that. And using the devil, of course, includes all his demons. And that just understood, everybody understands, should anyway. That's what it means. I hope I didn't make it worse. The brother already answered it real good.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Daniel. Brother Lee, you want to add something to that?
I just want to say this. You notice how, you know, we make a controversy when there is no controversy, we make a debate when God has. They haven't made a debate, but men do
Amen.
This over over things that don't really matter. Now, it doesn't really matter whether you want to call it paradise or heaven, as long as you be in the presence of the Lord. But
Amen. Men
want to argue or debate over deterrence instead of the place.
Yes, yes.
Right. So, you know, I've noticed that even Christians, the things that divide them over, and they won't argue these little points that don't matter. Paradise or heaven? Paradise or heaven? Well, no, you know. So I said, Jesus said on the cross, "Into thy hand I commend my spirit. Father, I commend my spirit." The two things that he said while he was in the cross, to the man on the left, "Today you will be with me," or "today in paradise." The terms, translation, using the words paradise, heaven. Paradise is in heaven. The presence of the Lord is where he at in heaven. And when you die, if you're right with God or with Christ, your spirit man goes to paradise or go in the presence of the Lord. It doesn't matter, as long as you're in his presence. Paul said, to be out of the body, after the body, is to be present with the Lord. Now, heaven and the new heaven and the new earth cometh, which is cometh after when Jesus come, the millennium is 1,000 years, then cometh the new heaven and new earth, which we shall reign with Christ, reign on the earth, but from, because we have risen with Christ. Remember, the believers are risen with Christ, it is coming. And with a resurrected person, we'll be like him and reign with him. So it's a good joy. Go to paradise, go to heaven. Hey, present with the Lord. Third heaven, great. Paul said, I'll caught up to the third heaven. Caught up to paradise. But to be present with the Lord is the key thing. Where he is, there will you be also, said the Bible. There where I am, ye shall be also. So let's be glad that we'll be with him if we are the redeemed.
Amen. Amen.
So that's all the questions I have today. If anybody want to call in, we have another 10 minutes, 323-870-3403. In the meantime, I'm going to give each one of the brothers a final comment before we go off the broadcast. I'm going to start with Brother Keevan. Would you like to say anything, any final comments, any information you would like the people to know?
Yes, I just want to add to, you know, to the broadcast tonight overall, you know, with, by the way, very great topics and questions, you know, that, you know, it's very insightful for people that are kind of on the fence because, you know, the enemy has propagated so many different ways other than God's ways. And, you know, I know in our Christian walk, it is easy to kind of, as Brother Lee alluded to, it's easy to kind of straddle the fence, you know, and it's easy to kind of start looking at other things. But, you know, God gave me this scripture a couple of weeks ago in his word, you know, and I believe this, he wasn't just speaking to me, but he was speaking to the body of Christ, you know, and that godliness with contentment is great gain. And sometimes we want to vacillate, you know, we want to vacillate and go away from God's word. And you know, as I said, Brother Lee talked about, we still carry this flesh, you know, we still have a soul that is wounded, you know, and this is where strongholds take effect, you know, and this is where the whispers, you know, the message talk about the whispers of Satan, you know, he's not leaving you alone just because you carry the crest of the kingdom. You know, if anything, he's after you even more to try to pull you out of Christ, you know, and I think Paul highlighted that when he talked about, I think it was 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, where he talked about how the serpent beguiled Eve to pull her away from the sincere devotion of Christ. So he's got, there's a constant pull on our life, and there's we hear so many things around because the enemy is the prince of the power of the air. And he's trying to usurp his influence. That's what he's done from the beginning. He's still trying to do so. So, you know, my advice, you know, to the body of Christ is to stay steadfast and pray for one another.
Amen. Thank you for that, Brother Keevan. Rev, I know you got to get out of here and get on your conference call. So You have any final words?
Yeah. I just thank and praise God. Just like Brother Keevan, God's been dealing with me lately with some things that pertains even to this call. And one of the things God shared with me was 2 Timothy 2, 15, and it talks about studying to show ourselves approved, workmen not needing to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. And I'm going to be dealing with the next 3 Wednesdays in Bible study about making it a personal relationship. And we all have to study this word of God and know it for ourselves, because we are in a season and a time of deception where it ain't just about Kanye West it's deeper than that. You got pastors in pulpits who are deceiving people, preaching messages for profit. And the people of God need to have a relationship for themselves. Then words like paradise, which are really synonymous with heaven, it won't be a deception. And we need to know the word, because even when the Jehovah Witness come and knock on your door, who frequently use the word paradise and talk to people about whether they're going to be on heaven or earth, you need to be able not to argue the word of God, but you need to know the word of God for yourself so you won't be shaken. And then you'll be also encouraged as you study and learn this word to have, you know, you have the power, like it says in Luke 10:19, over these demonic spirits that try to come to you. You have the power in Jesus Christ to overcome them. And as you learn continuously studying your word of God, then you know you can say no to the temptations that come to your flesh. And I'm not saying that we will be perfect, but it's about practice and progress, even though it's not about perfection. But we got to practice living a holy life. And as Brother Lee was saying, you have to kill the old man daily. Well, how do you kill your flesh daily? With the word of God, with prayer, with fasting. And we gotta take this walk serious, and it starts with us studying and knowing this word for ourselves, and then we can get some other avenues of knowledge and wisdom. But we gotta first know this word for ourselves. Pray and let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us into all understanding and truth of the word of God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, Rev. Brother Daniel, the final word?
Sure. Chapter 12, verse 1 of Hebrews says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It'll pay off. Everything we've denied the flesh and took up our cross, that's crossing our flesh desires. And your cross is not cancer or a mean mother-in-law. Your cross is denying yourself. And but everybody has that the sin. You notice he said the sin. There's something that's the one big thing we have to fight. And one of the things, amongst others, I don't feel worthy, but it's, oh, that's humility. No. No. It's an unworthiness is wrong, too, because we're worthy in Christ, and our flesh ain't worth shooting. It's not worth burning. It's not worth anything. It's evil. Turn to the core, and the core is evil too. But we must lay aside every weight and run with patience or endurance the race that is set before us if we're going to make it. Now, eventually, like I said a while ago,
the longer you serve the Lord, the stronger you get, and it gets harder and harder to backslide. But it can be done. The Bible uses that word, backslide. And so we want to make your calling and election sure. If you already knew you had it made, the minute you think that, you're lost right there. Because we don't have it made till we step through the pearly gate. Now, Paul, just before he died, and they're ready to cut his head off, they didn't crucify him because he was so infamous or famous or big leader. They give him a quick death, but they cut his head off. But he said, henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He knew at that moment, but he might have been, you know, 5 minutes or 5 hours or just before they killed him, he knew where he's going. But not up until then. He said, make your calling and election sure. And so the minute you think you got it made, you're lost right there. Right there. You done missed the mark right there. So if we got to walk humbly, do justly, love mercy, fear God, and keep his commandments, and we do that, neighbor, we'll make it. God bless you, and thank you again and again, dear brother Emmanuel, and we're glad to hear Brother Lee, and I think there's another brother on there, of their good, wonderful comments, and God bless you, and pray for Daniel.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Daniel. Love you, and you're welcome anytime, as always. All right. We had a caller, and the caller hung up. All right, so we're going to go ahead and end the broadcast. I'd like to thank Reverend Murphy for joining us, and Brother Daniel Rogers, and Brother Kevin Bruce, and, of course, Brother Eddie Lee for joining us. And be sure to tune in tomorrow. Brother Nate will be back on tomorrow. He's doing a deep dive on the Masonic Order, where he's really breaking that down tremendously. I mean, it's been such a blessing, and he'll be back on tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Remember always that we are on social media. We're on Facebook, God's Word to Man. So if you get a chance, you're on Facebook, go ahead, go over to our Facebook page and follow us there. Like the page, because as always, we do update there often. And so, for all the brothers here and myself, I'd like to say may God bless you, may God keep you, may God go with you.
We give you glory.
Amen. God bless you.
We give you glory.
Love you.